Hey y'all, it's Stephanie from Root to Seed. Today, we'll be talking about compost, fertilizers, mulches, and other soil amendments. In later episodes, we'll offer more in-depth information about some of these amendments, but for today, I wanted to give you an overview of possible amendments options. But first, the news. Since our last episode, we've continued to integrate the chicks with the hens, and we posted a video of this on YouTube, so you can check that out. We've decorated and planted our Mother's Day herb pots, and we've developed a rose body hand lotion, another great Mother's Day option. We also have amended many areas needing it in our own Root to Seed gardens. Okay, let's get started. So, you've done your soil test, now what? Well, fertilizers and soil amendments are tools that enable you to modify existing soil conditions. Many people call this feeding the soil, and this principle is used to benefit plant health, not artificially stimulate plant growth. Unnecessary applications of any fertilizer, compost, or soil amendment can cause nutrients to build up in the plants to excessive levels in the soil. At such levels, nutrients may adversely affect the plants and pollute local water resources. Nitrogen and phosphorus are the nutrients most involved in the pollution of water. When nitrogen ends up in oceans and phosphorus in lakes and ponds, it causes excessive aquatic plant growth and toxic algae blooms that can kill native plants and animals. Nitrates are also a hazard to human health when they pollute drinking water supplies. One of the most important characteristics of soil is its pH, which is an indicator of the soil's acidity or alkalinity. pH ranges from 1, which is very acid, to 14, which is very alkaline, with a pH of 7 being neutral. The pH determines the availability of most nutrients in the soil. Nutrients may be present, but if the soil is too acidic or too alkaline, the nutrients will become less available to the plant. pH should be adjusted based on a soil test, and the specific materials you use depends on calcium-magnesium ratio in the soil. Well-composted neutral, meaning with a pH of 6.0 to 6.5, compost can be used to reduce acidity slowly over time. Unfinished compost, however, can increase acidity. For faster results, you can use calcitic limestone, which essentially is calcium carbonate, or if your magnesium is low, you can use dolomitic limestone or wood ash. Just be sure it's not the ash of pressure-treated wood or other toxic materials. To reduce pH to make the soil more acidic, which is a very big rarity in New England, you can use granulated sulfur. Lawns and many, but not all plants, like a pH between about 6.0 and below 7.0. and are most happy around 6.5. Some plants, however, prefer acid soil, blueberries for example, and should not be limed. Soils with an organic matter content of 5% or more generally will not need any additional fertilizer. In the root to seed vegetable beds, fertilizers are rarely used. You can maintain this level of organic matter in your soil by returning organic material to the soil in the form of mulch. For the purpose of this podcast, mulch will mean leaves, prunings, grass clippings, and such. If your soil test indicated a deficiency, consider that there are many product options. When choosing a product, it is preferred to use renewable materials that are locally and sustainably produced, such as those from your own property. Many nutrient amendments are mined or harvested from natural sources that are not renewable, are transported over long distances, and can cause environmental damage. We don't want to deplete these resources for our short-term benefit. I'll be back in a few seconds to get a little deeper into the science. Okay, we're going to get a little nerdy here. If you need to review the information that we're going to talk about, you can check out the blog post for this episode. So we're going to define organic fertilizers as having no synthetic materials in the formulation. A balanced organic fertilizer will add the major plant nutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, along with micronutrients and trace minerals. All these nutrients are important for plant growth and healthy soil, which helps plants develop strong roots, stems, leaves, and helps them resist disease and insect damage. Organic fertilizers will often have an NPK ratio in the range of 4-3-3, which means 4% nitrogen, 3% phosphorus, and 3% potassium by weight or lower, which is a relatively low percentage compared to available synthetic fertilizers. If a supposed organic fertilizer contains NPK near the 10% range, chances are it contains a substance prohibited in an organic program, and you risk runoff of excess nitrogen. Study your labels carefully and avoid synthetic ingredients. Let's break this down a little further. Nitrogen is an essential plant nutrient required to create amino acids and proteins, genetic material, chlorophyll, and other important biochemical molecules. Phosphorus, in the form of phosphate, is an essential nutrient for every living organism. It enters the soils in natural systems like rock weathering, and surface runoff removes it from soils and carries it through aquatic systems to lakes and oceans, where it settles into deep water sediments. If a standard soil test gives a rating of medium or above for phosphorus, then no additional phosphorus is needed. In this case, grass clippings, compost, and soil available phosphorus can supply all the plant's phosphorus needs. Potassium is essential for plant metabolism and the vascular system that moves water and chemicals inside the plant. In order for soil potassium to be available to plants, it must be in a form that can easily move through the soil. Soil with high organic content is good at holding potassium and making it available to plants. Compost and grass clippings returned to your lawn can supply most of the potassium needs of native plants and biologically diverse lawns. I'll be back in a few seconds to talk about compost. Quality compost is a wonderful soil amendment and adds valuable organic matter and beneficial organisms along with nutrients. Read labels carefully and avoid any product that contains sewage sludge, which is referred to as biosolids on a label. Wetting agents, which are synthetic polymer additives, should also be avoided. Organic compost can be purchased at local garden centers and sometimes by your town's municipal recycling facility. Here at Root to Seed, we create our own compost with food scraps, the work of our chickens, and worms. However, if we were to need compost, we would get it from Earth Care Farm, as they are organic, clean, and respectable. You'll know the compost is good quality if it has a pleasant earthy smell, a dark brown or black color, never gray, and have the consistency of crumbled chocolate cake. It doesn't feel sandy or slimy. A simple test for the presence of weed seeds is to put some of the compost in pots, water it, and see if any weeds germinate over the course of a few weeks. A test for the presence of herbicides is to plant seeds such as peas, beans, or sunflowers in pots of compost, and if you see leaf curl after the second set of leaves emerge, then herbicides are likely present in that compost. Compost has many advantages as a soil amendment, and it's less likely to cause pollution of the local and regional environment than fertilizers, even organic ones. Incorporating compost improves shrub and shade tree performance, especially in marginal or poor soils. Good quality compost improves soil structure, reduces runoff and compaction, enhances biodiversity, increases water and nutrient retention, increases microbial activity, supplies nutrients, helps suppress and prevent plant diseases, detoxifies certain pesticides, and inactivates and kills potential human pathogens. The benefits to the plants are improved establishment of turf, ornamentals and shade trees, improved color, increased root growth, and reduced need for fertilizer, pesticides, and irrigation. Composting is easy. For home use, buy or make a compost bin that's about 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet. put about 1 foot of leaves, hay, or dry grass in the bottom. And as you start putting in your kitchen scraps, add 3 parts of browns to 1 part greens, and you're on your way. Browns are materials high in carbon, like fall leaves, straw, salt marsh hay, shredded paper, paper towels, cardboard, sawdust, pine needles, etc. Greens are materials high in nitrogen, like fresh grass, clippings, vegetables, fruits, seaweed, eggshells, coffee grounds and filters, tea bags, manure, specifically horse, cow, rabbit, chicken, goat, and guinea pig. You can layer these materials as you add them, and or you can turn the pile every few weeks to keep it oxygenated. Add a bit of soil or finished compost to increase microbial diversity now and then. Keep it damp. If you turn it regularly, it should be ready within a few months. If you layer it and leave it, it may take up to a year. In the end, you'll have beautiful finished compost you can use in your gardens as mulch or sprinkle on your lawn. It can be applied to your lawn in early spring and late summer by top dressing to 1/4 inch depth. Compost tea is something you might see out there at your garden centers, and essentially this is a liquid made from adding relatively small amounts of finished compost to water, pumping air through it to aerate it, and adding a source of food to increase the numbers of beneficial bacteria and fungi. While compost tea may be easier to apply than compost and typically provides some nutrients and an abundance of beneficial microbes to the soil, it does not substantially increase the organic content in the soil, as compost does. I'll be back in a few seconds to talk about mulches. Sometimes, finding easy to understand information in a community of like-minded people can be tough. With Root to Seed, you can grow into the gardener and homesteader you wish to be, or just refresh your knowledge with something new. Our website, www.roottoseedonline.com, has great information for all levels and interests. We also have a highly informational blog spot that is fully interactive. We're easy to contact should you need any more help. Be sure to visit. Mulch simply is a layer of material, either organic, like wood or bark chips, leaves, seaweed, etc., or inorganic, like gravel or sand, applied to the soil surface. The natural state of soil is to be covered with plant material, whether alive, dead, or both. This layer performs many functions that are vital to plant and soil health. Organic mulches mimic this natural cover by adding organic matter, humus, and nutrients to the soil, which provides a substrate for beneficial microorganisms, retains moisture, controls erosion, moderates soil temperature fluctuations, and helps suppress weeds. Inorganic mulches, such as stone, gravel, plastic, or weed fabrics, are less desirable because they don't contribute to the soil or plant health and are usually more ecologically harmful to produce and transport, but they can sometimes be reused and do not need to be replenished as often as organic mulches. The proper application of mulch is very important. Too much mulch, more than 3 inches in depth, can inhibit the movement of air and moisture into and out of the soil. Mulch piled up against trunks of plants can cause the bark to rot, leaving the layer under the bark vulnerable to damage. In addition, rodents can cause serious damage to trunks by tunneling through the mulch and feeding on the bases of plants. Beware of commercial mulches. They may be made from undesirable source materials like construction debris or have undesirable additives like dyes or even pesticides. Make sure you know what you're buying, where it comes from, and what's been added. Even mulch from pure wood chips can become toxic to plants if it's been stored where it doesn't stay dry and get enough air. Really, simple leaves and rinsed seaweed, if you live near the shore, make excellent and free mulch. In closing, I'd like to offer a checklist to help you easily apply what you've learned. First, get a soil test. Next, Make a compost bin for your leaves, garden debris, and kitchen vegetable scraps, and feed your compost bin. Then leave grass clippings on the lawn to replenish nutrients and organic matter. Next, mulch your gardens and shrubs using materials from your yard like leaves, pine needles, and chipped brush. Then don't put mulch against the barks of trees and woody shrubs. Be sure to read labels carefully and understand what is in any soil amendment before you buy it. And finally, match the soil to your plant and match your plant to your soil. As usual, if you need to reference this information, you can check out the community blog. I do hope this was useful. Feel free to contact us if there's anything specific you'd like to learn about. Next week, we'll talk about some common weeds. Until next time, be kind to the planet, be kind to each other, and join our community.